I found myself interceding quite a bit, and it was very comfortable. I found the harmony between the saints was relatively good. I've learned over the years that whenever we set time aside for the Lord to use us, there's usually a war pattern that will hit. Obviously, it hit you tonight. I would do my best to not concentrate on it, but to just give it back to the Lord and say, okay, now what? Because as I was searching for the heart of the Lord tonight, one thing that the Lord has been working on me for the past several weeks is on the worship of self. And many years ago I read a book called The Kingdom Cult of Self. And it's a book that really can really make you look at yourself and look at what your purposes are and so on and so forth. And the spirit of selfishness and how it works and how it works through the flesh. And when I focus on me and I give in to make me feel good, it's truly idolatry that is behind the soul, and it pushes for any type of satisfaction, and then I can feel good about myself for a few moments. Usually at that point, the accuser steps into the scene, and he begins his war games against me. And I also found that, you know, behind the scenes, God is trying to uncover for me to be able to see that I spoke to you guys a little bit about prostitution last week. And harlotry is related. And we don't always see it in ourselves, but we know that that force is behind the scenes if we're wise enough to be able to look for the cause of the problem. And then what's hidden in me pushes to get what it wants. So I'm the problem, and it's not really the enemy. It's all about trying to really see what pushes me. Also, from the outside, it tries to steer me away from God, my Father, and from Jesus, my Lord. So its attempt is to seduce me to go away from God. So its focus has a definite goal. Now the Holy Spirit comes to my spirit and reminds me through my conscience to repent. And then to restore communion and to bring back wisdom and heal the breach. So a few weeks ago, the Lord reminded me again that, you know, we're made up of three parts. We're made in the image of our Father. Well, our Father is made up of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that's three distinct parts in one unit. We also spoke about the Star of David in the past few weeks, or last Sunday, whenever. Anyway, the next level is in the me part that I need to see, and there's three different aspects of me. There's the spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, the body is pretty easy. I mean, we've got the expert over the body over here. We're made out of flesh, bone, and blood. Those are the three basic elements that make up our body. But then, we have our soul. Our soul is made up of our minds, will, and emotions. So, when the attack is on my mind, my will, and my emotions, or my flesh, my body, or my blood, who's at work?
The enemy. No, ourselves.
Let's kind of sidetrack the enemy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we focus so much on him that we lose track of the real me. And what I want. And my weaknesses. The weaknesses that I have in my soul and the weaknesses that I have in my flesh are really trying to pull me away from God. which part of me came to the Lord and said, Jesus, be Lord of my life? Was it your soul? Was it your flesh? Or was it your spirit? Okay. Your spirit had to kind of nudge you to make you go forward, because you already had a calling on you and you bowed your soul, your will, and your emotions. Okay. And you made a free will choice, because that's part of the will. And you said, yes, Lord, I want you to come and become my Lord, my Savior, my healer. Now, immediately, the bone part of you, the flesh part of you, the blood part of you is all in the natural, which you've inherited from where?
Adam.
Well, yes, but parents, grandparents, and I'm trying to give you an up-to-date one. If we say Adam, well, you know, he's kind of far back. But if you look at mom and dad, you can see some of the traits that are in them in self. How many ever saw selfishness in their mothers or fathers? Or both? Well, God heavens, if they had it, what do you think you got? How much selfishness is in me? And I think that's what God was trying to show me again tonight. He says, well, this afternoon, I should say, not tonight. How much of me is still not transformed or not transfigured? How much of me is still looking for satisfaction? How much of me is still looking to, well, I think your words were, I want to see something awesome. I'd like to see something awesome. I'd like to give a good report. But I'm in a real horrible place right now. And it's really the soul. The mind, will, and emotions are just taking you for a ride. Well, what do you do about it? You can concentrate on it if you want to, and you'll have an extra day of upset and bad and garbagey. But if you walk away from it and you say, okay, Holy Spirit, how do I change it? And what is my spirit made out of? Now, so far the body is made out of three parts. The soul is made out of three parts. Who can tell me what the spirit is made out of?
The heart?
Well, the heart is, there's two parts. There's the heart in the natural, which is part of the instrument that God made so that this body would be able to continue. Then there's your inner man, which is really your spirit. And that is your spirit man. And that is your heart. But it's also something else. There's three aspects of your spirit. Three distinct aspects. And the first one that I would say is your conscience. Now, if your conscience is healthy, full of love, full of compassion, what's going to happen? It's going to guide your soul. It's going to remind you, if you made a mistake out of your selfishness, out of your desires that are wrong, probably heading in the wrong direction, and your conscience is going to kind of come to the surface and say, well, did you remember what you just did right now? Maybe you should have been a little more courteous, sir. That's your conscience. Anybody got one? Mm-hmm. Everybody got one. We all have it. Do we listen to it? I do. When I'm aware and I'm made conscious, I can change something. So a healthy conscience is really a part of your spirit. Now, there's such a thing as a seared conscience, and I could go on to that, but I don't want to touch that just yet. Then there's wisdom and communion. So as soon as you separate yourself and you go into a selfish mode, what have you done? You've just cut off the flow from God. You have now started to worship at the altar of self. Get along? Anybody following me? So when that happens, your communion with God gets what?
Very limited.
Very limited. And you go into this horrible space where we say, well, my God, how come I can't do? What's wrong with me? And the accuser's right there to what? Blame, reinforce. Accuse, reinforce, push your buttons. You did it wrong, okay? And the next part of you, conscience, communion, and one aspect, wisdom. A wise person that knows God, knows His Word, begins to do exactly what you confessed. He begins to bring the Word of God out into the situation. Well, there is no condemnation. I'm not going to buy this lie. I'm going to resist this deception. Okay? And so by the Spirit of wisdom, which is in your spirit, the communion is then restored. When you repent, when you change your mind, when you ask for forgiveness, what happens?
It's done.
Communion is restored. So as soon as your communion is violated, when you have a healthy spirit, immediately there's an awareness, I better do something. And I have the free will then to activate it from my soul. So my soul and my spirit have to be in communion together. They were designed by God to live forever. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I'd like to get rid of this soul because it's so selfish. Well, that's not the case. You don't want to get rid of your soul. Your soul is a very healthy part of you, as long as it is healthy and it's acting in the ways that God has given you in His Word. So His Word is important. If you spend time in the Word, eventually the way you think begins to be like the Lord, or there's a reminder from the Holy Spirit within you, wait a minute, are you acting and reacting like God says? Or are you acting and reacting like your flesh wants? Get the picture? So under the anointing of the soul, you are going to be still in a selfish motivation most of the time, and your body will play along with it. When the Holy Spirit is trying to mature you, you're going to be actually operating under your spirit power, or under your spirit's guidance. When, and we talked about Adam, and I kind of pulled you back, but Adam and Eve went to the Lord. They were very happy about the garden they were living in. But there was one tree that the Lord told them not to partake of. But yet, when Eve was seduced, that spirit of what? Prostitution was on her case. Okay? Well, I don't know if God really meant it. And so she began to discern with her head. And she began to overrule her own spirit. And she made the decision to go with the lies that the enemy was presenting. When she did that, she presented the case to her husband. Right? Now, he had a decision to make. He could have went back to his spirit and said, woman, put that thing down. We're going to follow the Lord. But he loved her so much, he didn't want to displease her, so he bowed to what?
Fear.
Fear?
Rejection.
Yes, what else?
People pleasing.
People pleasing. Okay, so you can see all the attributes that are in you and me. Mm-hmm. Those same things are operating in us. Now, when we see those things, we have the same choice. Either we can go with how Jesus would do it, or how Adam did it. And if we activate our spirit, immediately your conscience is going to come up and going to say, wait a minute. Lady, I love you, but we're not going with this apple bit. It's not going here. But most of the time, we flow with it because of fear and fear of rejection. That's what you brought out. And then we're stuck because we made a decision from our soul not to follow our spirit, but to follow the feel-good pattern, whatever that happens to be. Whether it's in the flesh or in the soul, doesn't matter. It's the same pattern. So, what I was trying to make you aware of is you have your communion. As soon as there's a division between you and the Lord, you can feel it. You're tuned in, you can feel it. And you say, uh-oh, something I did, I don't know where, I don't know when, but something I did is off-center. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just have that knowing inside. How come there's something off center? Where did I go off? Well, immediately wisdom tells you, backtrack. Holy Spirit, where did I miss it? Where did I get off the, you know, anointing? Where did I go on my own? And that's how we mature. When we go back to God and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, please, would you guide me? I'm going to need your help right now because I want to come back up. I'm not happy where I'm at the moment. I want to come back up and I want to restore my communion with you. So I believe the theme of this feast will probably be identifying and get rid of all the selfish motivation out of our soul and out of our flesh so that we can become mature men and women of God. When we are mature and we aren't judgmental, not to, because again, the judgment usually comes with the accuser pushing buttons and trying to get us to accuse ourselves. So we're so low and so useless and so powerless, we can't help anybody else because we can't even walk on our own. Anybody relate?
That's what I was perceiving was happening to Bob.
Mm-hmm.
If that keeps going, that's the way he'll end up feeling.
Yep.
And very down on himself.
Well, he said he was fighting back, which is great. I mean, you know, you were pushing some buttons here. And that's good. But I can tell you truthfully, there was a season in my life I had a hard time to do that. I had a very hard time to do that. Yeah. I would say the words, but the unbelief would kick in, and I'd say, well, it ain't working. So, you see, in the end, our job is to pray for one another. It's not to pick on the guy who fell. It's not to push him down if he's hurting. But to really say, how can I be of assistance to help you back up? How can I intercede for you? And sometimes you're not able to connect with the person, but you certainly can connect with the Lord. Say, is there something I need to do? Is there a phone call needed? Is there something that I can do to reactivate the spark that has gone or that has left? So, if you see yourself kind of lingering underneath the pressure, don't live there, don't stay there. Go back and activate your spirit. And I can tell you truthfully, sometimes just praying in tongues will kind of quick start your inner man. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so if you do this a little bit more, you'll find that you'll reactivate that which is needed so that you can come up more quickly. Not to stay in the plain, well, in the place of pain or in the place of the accuser's theme of destruction and war games.
I'm trying about the worship, you know.
Well, yes. And see, the whole goal is to get you away from God. Get you away from the Lord Christ Jesus. Anything that he can do to just push you back, he's going to try to do. So, and again, the weaknesses that are in me. Now, I've also learned that my priesthood is not just about me praying about myself, but to pray also about the weaknesses that were in my family. And to pick them up, no matter how many times I see myself in weakness, Lord Jesus, I see that same weakness in my parents, my grandparents. Lord Jesus, pour your blood over them and me. Clean us up so that we're not going to continue having this problem in this family. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, even your spiritual family, the people that you work with, brothers and sisters in Christ, are going to see the change in you. That will have an effect. And it will have good fruit. And that's what you want. You want good fruit. Lord Jesus, we just humble ourselves tonight. And you told us in your word, when we humble ourselves and expose the darkness, that it has to flee. Father, I know that in me there's a lot of selfishness that's still got to go. I see it. I see it more clearly at different times. I see the different negative forces that are influencing my thought patterns. So I'm asking you tonight that during this feast, you would release an anointing of grace and mercy for healing of the emotions, healing of the mind, healing of all of the different parts of me that have been under the wrong anointing, so that the Holy Spirit, through my spirit, can stay focused and govern my soul and my body, so that God's plan will unfold in this house of prayer and in my family, because it is all encompassing. No matter where I am, either working in pleasure places, restaurants, places of business, no matter where I am, I can touch and release grace to those that are hurting, in Jesus' name. His anointing be upon you as you go forth in this night, that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation knowledge as you go forth, and that you will have the dreams and visions and actually the words of knowledge and words of wisdom that come, so that you'll know what to do for tomorrow.